Hello, and welcome to 100% Real with Ruby. Today, I have Miss Nacho's Tacos, Sarah Kane, here with me. And everything she says is something I've said, and everything that I say is something she said. So this is going to be a kick-ass conversation. Now, I'll first say who this podcast is for, because there's a few people here that are going to need to take out a pen and paper and start taking some notes. If you want to build your best physique and see the leaner, sculpted, more athletic body and that tight, shapely look, this is for you. And if you aren't seeing the muscle and physique changes you want despite busting ass, doing all the things, this is also for you. If you have a lot of weight to lose, I would say this is one to save, because future you will need this. You are not going into calorie deficit your way to your dream body. It'll take a few long phases of building in between your shorter fat loss bursts. Now, there's so much information out there. Most women are still unhappy with what they see in the mirror. When it comes to building, I find that training plans and diets, macros, whatever, they never cut it, because it's the self-sabotage that usually lets us down when we decide to build muscle. It's these feelings that we have of fluffiness. It's the way that we train. It's the accountability. It's the emotions of just being a female in our bodies, where we see these stage competitors all the time, or we see these unrealistic 8-week transformations. So to start off this podcast, I'll let Sarah start us off by talking us through what she is so damn good at talking about, and that's what the body many women want takes, and how our actions and beliefs aren't in line with that.
Sure. Well, thanks so much for having me on, Ruby. I'm excited. And yes, 100% what Ruby said is true. Everything she says, I'm always like, yes, yes, yes. And I feel like vice versa. We definitely vibe from across the world through socials, and I love that. So more women that say what you are saying needs to be said. So I'm so glad we can connect on that level. Okay, the body that you want, no one likes to hear this, takes way longer to build than you're thinking. Most women are thinking, I need to lose X amount of pounds, when in reality, they need to be gaining X amount of lean muscle pounds. And they need to be thinking more about gaining muscle to their body before they think about losing body fat. Obviously, there are exceptions to that. But, I would say that's few and far between. And that's usually somebody who medically does need to lose body fat. They maybe could try a little bit of both. Either way, every single female, 100% of them, no matter where you are at in your journey, has got to be focusing on how to add lean muscle tissue with proper protein intake at every meal, through each meal, throughout the day, lifting heavy, no matter what phase you're in. Primarily, you should be in a longer maintenance or physique enhancement intention to build weight, having enough food. There's so many ways to say that. You don't have to be in a surplus gaining weight, but you do have to be training and eating to add muscle, which is not in a fat loss phase. So, most women refuse to be patient. And that's why they're like on this hamster wheel of, I'm still not there. I'm not happy yet, because they spend maybe 4 months trying to maintain their scale weight and train hard, eat enough, but then, they feel uncomfortable in whatever, their clothes, in their skin, in their head. And so then they're chasing the diet again, rather than committing. Honestly, I mean, to me, a good 2 years, 3 years, it really depends on where your baseline is. I'm a little old, we were just talking about how old we were, and I turned 40 this year and I have 4 kids. So for a female my age, I would say you're going to have to spend 2 years really focusing on building lean muscle tissue, that before you enter a diet phase.
that's actually a really important point to bring here. A lot of us still act as though we're still 25, whereas it's really easy to build muscle. And I say really easy, if you do everything right, it is. But most of us live our 20s and sometimes our 30s still trying to shrink, still trying to be the smallest on the scale. And one thing that Sarah and I are the exact same on is the fact that we had this number in our head. And it wasn't for us to try to hit that number. It was for us to stay under that number. And you mentioned there that women are so focused on trying to maintain this scale weight if they're not trying to lose it, that we actually hold ourselves back in that way. And it's not just the patience. It's how many pant sizes did you up? It's you want muscle. Muscle takes up space. Yes, you feel like your legs are chunky, but it's not dieting that is going to make them less wrinkly, less soft, and less pudgy. It's the muscle that you build under it that's going to create that lean, defined muscle that you want. So maybe you can speak a little bit more about that whole scale weight thing and things that you see and so forth.
Yeah, the scale is huge for most women. Again, I would say my average demographic is that I coach is 35 to 55. So most of these women, myself, I fit in that demographic too, lived our teens and 20s. And, you know, for some of my older ladies in the, not older, perfectly established ladies closer to, you know, in their 50s, lived even much of their 30s being told low fat food, heroin chic is super in, we're doing Weight Watchers, you know, people are smoking to maintain 99 pounds or whatever. And so there's a huge scale obsession. And it was also like, you know, talked about a lot, like, oh, you know, you went away 115, that whole thing. So that's kind of what happened to me is in my early 20s, and in high school and stuff, I started chasing a really lean number in college, about a 110. I liked to waver between 108 and 112. And then my cutoff would be 115. And if I hit 115, I would basically freak out and try to get back to 110 or whatever, or restrict food. Essentially, I would overtrain, maybe do more cardio, that type of thing, definitely restrict foods. And then I did that in my early 20s. I had babies. And so I had four kids back to back. And then postpartum, I thought I need to weigh this 110 magic number again. Like I have to, that's going to be where I am confident again. Like I'm back to my old self. And I did it with a lot of extreme restriction. And I basically restrict really hard for 3 weeks. And then you kind of fall off for a week, but you're going crazy with food. You know, I wouldn't even necessarily call it a binge because I wasn't necessarily a binger, but you're like on a food bender. Let's call it that, you know, like it wasn't sustainable. And I was doing so much cardio, chasing the number. And I got there and I'm like, this is not it. This is not what I planned. So then you just are like, but I have to keep this number. So it must be more cardio I have to do. I'm not restricting enough. All these weeks where I'm like on this food bender, these are getting in the way. It took me several years to think, oh, I think I actually need muscle here. In fact, I'm like, I even have a memory of telling a friend, oh, I don't like lifting weights. Like that, no, that is not for me. I only like cardio. And so I had this misconception, belief that it was a lot of cardio restriction. And then it really limited me. And I was, you know, quote unquote, you get compliments. People, you know, love a good before and after, of course, when you lose weight. And it messes with your head. The society even, you know, encourages us being stuck in our head about a certain scale number. You know, oh, you looked so good that year when you weighed that, or, you know, people are so affirmative to it. So, it's just really sad. But the ladies that I coach, definitely something, you know, sometimes we pull the scale. I have a lot to, over time, get more comfortable with the scale because they watch in pictures their body change and they do end up saying, you know, whoa, I weigh more than I did maybe when we started, but I love, like, my jeans are, I'm filling them out in the right way. Or, you know, they're submitting to me, I got a PR today. They're just, their focus begins to shift. And in that shift, their confidence shifts and then their body shifts, right, into a composition that they're chasing that's not about the scale at all. It's about muscle. It's about a lifestyle that they're creating for themselves. And it's so much, it's more rewarding for them. It's more rewarding for me as a coach. It's, you know, it's a part of our job as coaches to talk to women about the scale. But, and to help guide them to see other wins outside of the scale. So I don't want to say that I dislike those conversations, but they're not my highlight of coaching at all. My highlights are when you get the message, I got a PR, or gosh, I tried this on today and it fit awesome. Or, you know, God, I'm sleeping. I have one recently that she's like, I've been putting butter on my popcorn and it's awesome. And she's like, hadn't been eating butter for a very long time. And I'm like, eat the butter. Like, I want you to have the butter.
That is so funny because I try to steer away from like buttery stuff and try to sense it more into you are allowed to eat the dessert.
Yes.
Make it more of an indulgence in that sense. So I love the way that you do that. But there was something you said there that I wanted to emphasize. And that's once you focus on performance, you realize the scale never really mattered at all. Except because you mentioned this, the pants part. And I also love the fact that you said you ditched the scales. Because I always say if you haven't went at least 6 months without using a scale, then you owe it to yourself. This isn't just doing it for your coach, if you have a coach.
Right.
You owe it to yourself to get rid of the scale for at least 6 months to allow yourself to tune into your body, to know how it feels, to let your life be dictated by something other than, I stepped on a scale now, this is how I'm going to feel today, this is how it's going to impact my session, this is how I'm going to think about my food choices and all that kind of other stuff as well. It's like, shift that focus to how you can improve your performance. And
100%.
Yeah. And like, if you see Sarah's old self, kind of like my old self and many people's current self, we got to this smallish place. We were lean-ish, but we didn't have the shape that we wanted. And then we started to believe all the things that we repeat to ourselves, which is where a lot of people, they see the message, but they don't believe it's for them because where they see themselves now, they don't think that that's what they need to get to where they want to be. It's like, oh no, but I'm still fluffy. I still have this little bit to lose. I still feel like I'm too soft. So they think that losing weight is the answer there, where in fact, it's exactly that very thing. It's building up. And before I clicked record, that's one part to talk on. But before I clicked record, we were talking about the fact that both of us have actually got asked, do you compete? And we both say no, and we don't even fantasize competing. If anything, Sarah wants to do powerlifting. If anything, I would just rather do strength, but I don't even want to put the pressure of on myself of a competition because to me, I'm enjoying the journey now. But the reason we will never even consider that is because we know what it takes to get really lean. We know what it takes, even as a lifestyle, to try to get that small. And we think we want it. We think that that's what's going to make us happy. And we can start off with all the right intentions. But as you go along that journey, you're starting to undo all of the wiring that you were at to start with. And you just fall further down the track. And once you get there, if you were in a nice place to start with, you're going to have to do all that work to get back out because lean and your body will never seem the same again to you.
Yeah, 100%. That is absolutely my apprehension in doing a competition. And I train my clients and I do my personal training through a gym that is kind of designed for bodybuilders in my area. There's a lot of lifestyle people. So I get asked regularly and My answer is always no. I don't want to chase that level of leanness and then come back here and be unhappy with what a true healthy lifestyle is. I don't want to test the mindset around it. And I mean, truth be told, I struggle in fat loss. You know, it is not for me. My cycle will skip for 4 months, even on not even low calories. So it is just not my best life. That I'll tell you that. So I have no desire to live there.
I think that when people get the perception or they start on this whole like, okay, so it's not about fat loss, that just means I'm going to get bigger again, I'm going to gain all the weight back, I'm going to go back to where I was, I'm not going to be happy, all this other stuff. And even just like, I had a client ask me this a while back, and I'm just like, just leave it to me, I got you. But it was like she just started her first fat loss phase. She's like, am I going to get it all back after? Am I going to go back to where I was? Because I'm finally starting to feel good. People only tie feeling good or progress to shrinking or fat loss. That's one part of it. And the second part of it is, if I'm not losing fat, then I'm just going to get fat.
Right. But it's not, it isn't one or the other. They, in fact, I'm a year into maintenance after a bulk. And I coach women like this all the time too. It is just shifting your mindset to these, you know, action-based, non-scale victories, right? Like getting stronger, watching your body composition, and your clothes do change. Your jeans might get tighter, but other areas, your underwear might suddenly get baggy. You're like, this is weird. My underwear, you know, I was talking about that even with a client, or, your shirts, the way they fall, you might gain a lot of confidence there. And a lot of times, you know, ladies start turning in. I'll have clients be like, touch my bicep. Like I feel tighter. And it's because they're building muscle. They're not necessarily losing weight, right? We're focusing a lot on habits and adding lean, but adding muscle. And they're like, this feels great. And they are losing body fat without the scale moving hugely, if at all, because the ratios are improving, right? Their lean muscle tissue is going up and their body fat mass is going down while the scale stays the same. So they're recomping, and, you know, they don't necessarily know that's what's happening, but the way they verbalize it is all these little things. And it's, but, even to share about myself, you know, I did a bulk and I went from 111 to 125, 126 was my peak. I was seeing those numbers. I think my average was 124 around at the end, over 11 months. So I gained 14 pounds, which is 10% of my body weight. It was a touch above 10% of my body weight in 11 months. I did a short.
You didn't blow up.
No, I added so much muscle. I wore the exact, I'm 5'2". I fit in the exact same clothes the entire time. Were they snug at the end? And there were a couple pairs of leggings that I was like, I'm just going to shelf these for a minute. But my jeans still fit. Everything was still fitting. And now I'm actually leaner. So now I'm a post a year of that. I did a short, I would call it a reset, because my bulk, I had to eat 3,000 calories. And I just couldn't sustain that forever. So I did 2,000 calorie cut and I took off 5 pounds of the 14 I gained. So I only took off 5, but I would consider it a reset, because your mindset and your stomach get accustomed to eating this 3,000 calorie plates, right? And I maintain on very high food. But anyhow, did you have a question?
I was going to say, I do remember seeing a couple of stories where you said you sized up your pants twice.
I have now in maintenance. It took a year later. I have keep adding lean muscle tissue, because while I came down about 5 pounds, now I'm really similar weight to, because I'm a year into maintenance, which is super common to have the scale go between 5 pounds over that year, which it's done for me. But I continue to add lean muscle tissue because I'm eating to my full potential. And now, actually, I've had to size up. I didn't have to size up in my bulk, but I'm adding so much lean muscle tissue now. Now, like, my sports bras are too tight. My jackets, you know, you come to winter. It's winter here, but, like, last fall, it's like you start putting on your jackets. I'm like, whoa, my shoulders have grown. And my jeans, I've totally had to upsize now, but that was not during my bulk. So very interesting, but it doesn't bother me at all because it's muscle. It would have bothered the old me hugely. It does not bother me now because it is not, I love the aesthetic. I love of my body at this point because it has muscle on it. I didn't love the aesthetic of my body at 110 pounds because it was body fat and bones, honestly. Like, I mean, obviously I had some muscle, but you know what I mean? It was predominantly, I had four kids back to back, like in 6 years. It was body fat and bones. I guarantee this 13 pounds that I'm above 110 is predominantly lean muscle tissue. And that's why, like, my waist inches are down. Not, my inches aren't that different, but there is a figure there.
So that just hit. So this is why it is really important to realize that it does not happen in one phase. Like in mm-hmm. that first building phase, there probably wasn't all that much physique change. It was mostly weight change and her body getting bigger without her clothes getting bigger. So that's like an anomaly because usually I do see clothes go up. But obviously, if I think about it, mine didn't to start with. But then the second time I did a build, my clothes did go up and I can't fit in any of my tights anymore. Yes. My tights are way too small because, like, I have lean legs. My legs are really yes. defined and people always pick out saying, your legs are so lean. Just because they're lean doesn't mean they still fit into my skinny pants. Muscle right. takes up space and it's taken me years to build these things. And yes. now she's a year plus more into maintenance, pretty much going into that. This is now where the real shit is starting because that bulk was probably your first time getting really damn serious, wasn't it?
Yeah, the bulk too was coupled with finally bringing my training intensity up to a level to add lean muscle tissue. So that's the other thing is if you're going to be in a surplus of calories, your training intensity has to be in alignment for you to stay in your same pant size and gain 10 pounds. Does that make, like, you can't just gain 10 pounds and do nonchalant training. It's not going to be muscle. That they have to be coupled together. And so I think with, you know, it was coupled with me finally training at an intensity to add muscle. So my body was a furnace, I feel like, but yes, the inches came up, but I didn't size up per se, but yeah, now it's technically I'm 2 years to over two into focusing on building lean muscle tissue. And now my clothes really are coming up and I'm going to go 3 before I fat loss. I don't plan to fat loss until 2025. Because I'm going to take these guys off and then I also feel like it's good for my clients to occasionally touch a fat loss phase so I can remember what it's like to be in their shoes.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, occasionally, too many people are occasionally trying to eat more. And I emphasize the trying, occasionally trying to eat more, yes. but living in a deficit. And the thing with trying to eat more is that it's usually sporadic. It's usually, oh, I'm going to test this out for a little bit. I'm going to do as you heard on my podcast with Brandon DeCruz, a mini bulk. There is no such yeah. thing as a mini bulk. You need to be in a building phase. I call it yes. building because building can be done in maintenance or a surplus depending on where you yes. are right now and depending, once again, on your training intensity because you ain't yes. going to build shit in maintenance if you're not training intense enough.
And if you're inconsistent, like you can maintain the scale weight, but if you're only hitting the gym when you feel like it, your training is mediocre, you're not going to add lean muscle tissue during that time. 100%. It is a building phase, can be done at maintenance. In fact, I would argue I added more lean muscle tissue this year in maintenance than I did in my bulk because I had one-on-one coaching.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I mean, over time, your training knowledge comes up. So again, but these are all patience discussions. You're not going to build your body in one phase, probably in one build phase. You're probably not going to even reveal your body in one fat loss phase that you're hoping for. It's going to take multiple phases and probably multiple years. And no one likes hearing that. It's just the reality.
Yeah, no one likes hearing that, especially because they think, oh, what? Nothing's going to happen for years. It's like, no, things are happening in the process.
Yes. Yeah.
And you're not going to realize it in the process because you see yourself every day. And this whole, I freaking hate when, like, the whole compare yourself week to week or the 8-week transformations, comparing yourself so regularly. It's like, yeah, those are great for rapid transformations, but for lifestyle transformations, it doesn't happen that fast. But you said something really important there, and this is why it's really important to set a base first, because the more that you build up your training capacity, your training volume in terms of how much you lift load-wise, so that it's not adding more and more sets and more reps. It's like your training volume in the same smart structure through lifting heavier, through being able to actually get more done in a short period of time because you're recovering better,
right?
That sort of thing. Because the more advanced you get, a lot of people say you're going to need more. In fact, you would need less because now you're lifting heavier. You're going to need even longer to recover. But
I'm lifting the least amount in life I ever have, and I keep growing muscle. And because I've gotten more advanced, you get more effective.
You're lifting
efficient,
more.
Efficient is the word that I was looking for. You are far more efficient reps to rep than you ever were in the beginning. It might take you to rep 15 to be like, oh yeah, I'm working my biceps, you know, like, but you know, over time, rep one, you're like, okay, here we go.
And training intensity is a skill. Training to failure is a skill. And yeah. I would say the majority of people without a coach, even with some PT that isn't a coach, that just competed on stage, is like, oh, I got here. This is how you do it. It's like, you're not going to be training anywhere near as intense as you need to train because you have so many sets, so many reps, so much compiled into a week that you're not recovering to session to session. 4 days, in my opinion, is plenty. Can we talk about that?
Yes. 4 days, 100% plenty, more than enough. I would argue for some women, maybe even more my age, as you approach perimenopause, I would say 3 can be enough if they're well-designed and your training intensity is there. 4 is more than enough. A 2-2 split. I'm doing 4 total bodies right now, which I've never done different. But your leg, it's nice. I'm only doing 2 leg moves, a lift.
How are you going to build your legs doing them in 2?
8 moves a week. That's it. And I just came off of only 6 leg moves a week. So, because your training intensity is there. So the recovery is such a huge process or a huge piece in the muscle building process. Recovery meaning continuing your nutrition, not saying to myself, it's rest day, I need to eat less. Your body needs that fuel to go through protein synthesis, also to basically heal the, you know, healthy, quote unquote, it's damage. We're damaging our muscles in order to create a process of growing them. But, and so it's a healthy choice of stress. But, you know, if you're living in this state of basically overtraining, your body never even has a chance to be restored and do these things. It's almost like you're forcing it to be in fight or flight all the time. So how effective can you be long-term living in this like extreme? You can't as a woman in life, your body also cannot. So, 4 is enough. And If you don't think it's enough, you're probably the first person that should be hiring a one-on-one coach and recording your video, your form, asking for what could I improve? Do you think I'm close to failure? Training technique, improving training and technique efficiency, learning how to take longer rest periods, all of that. It is more than enough. There's no way I could train more than 4 days at this point.
Thing. Like if I added in a fifth day, I probably could for like 2 weeks, but then I would realize, cause I did this after lockdowns. I spoke about it before as well. It's like, obviously I was going to do 5 workouts in lockdowns cause I was playing around with like no weights at all. Yeah. So then when I went back to the gym, I tried to keep that. I had the intensity there for about 2 weeks and then I was just lugging ass. But there are also some times where we can fool ourselves that we're training really hard, but we don't realize the symptoms and we don't realize like the side effects and all that stuff that come in. But because we're talking about like fat loss and the fact that you need to spend more time out of fat loss, in a fat loss phase, training feels hard. And when you're building, obviously it feels hard too. That's the thing. They both feel hard relative. Now we can use that word relative again. But they feel hard relatively. And this is the same if you're under fueling on carbs. Your sessions are going to feel freaking hard. You're going to feel like you're going really intense. But you don't know how good you can train until you actually fuel your workouts and stop fasting into your workouts. Until you actually start eating enough food and enough carbs. Then you start to realize in a fat loss phase, the best you can do is try to keep muscle. Unless you're really overweight or you're new to training, then you can do both, but you ain't going to build any substantial muscle mass in a deficit.
Right.
And I had this rant with my mentor. I was on like a 3-hour mentorship yesterday, and an amazing part of it was just us ranting about the fact that, okay, so when you're starting out with a lot of body fat to lose, that body has muscle moving around that huge amount of weight. So when you lose, this is what really annoys me when people think that, oh, it worked for me, so this is the best way to do it, or showing like this, like the you are going to reveal quite a lot of muscle when you lose a lot of weight because that muscle was there already.
Correct.
It's a completely different process coming from somewhere like Sarah and myself, someone from a skinny fat or an under-muscled, an average physique. I'm saying average because most of us are average. And some of us are maybe a little bit above that with more body fat. And when you lose body fat, you might feel like, okay, I'm losing fat and gaining muscle at the same time. You probably did for a little bit of time, but now you're just losing fat. And you're just revealing what was already there.
Correct.
Take that.
Yeah, did they play sports as a kid? Because they definitely have muscle. You know, even if you quote unquote take a decade off and you gain 50 pounds, but you grew up in athletics or anything, it was there. Definitely as far as if you are coming from a physique where we started in our muscle building journeys, it is totally a different process. You're doing kind of what I said in the beginning. Instead of continuing to lose more weight, the 5-10 pounds that you're in your brain tricking yourself, you are literally having to eat and train to add 5 or 10 pounds of lean muscle tissue because it's really not there. There's no dimension where, yes, if you are a larger person and diet down, and there's a physique under it, that physique was there before you dieted, essentially. You know, you might have slightly enhanced it, but not much at all. So
yeah, that's why it's also really important to keep weight training so that you can keep what's there. That's the reason why people still look like they built muscle at the same time, because they've been keeping it that whole time. And a lot, like, I do have a few
parts. Also, you keep your glycogen stores, and that is going to, once you do, let's say, you know, next year when I diet, you know, go into a diet phase, if I just stopped lifting weights, I would still reveal muscle because I have muscle, but I would look very flat because, you know, so you need to continue lifting. So there's a demand for glycogen to fill these cells to like give us that fulfilling. I mean, you can even, I've had clients that come to me very, very lean and they leave a couple pounds up and they're lifting a little heavier. We've upped nutrient density. I have one client I'm thinking particularly in mind. She came to me 104 and she's around 109. So we didn't bring the scale up too much, but her skin is brighter. You can see her delts more, her quads more, because her body now has a reason to keep all these resources here and prevalent versus just staying, you know, lifting. She trained, but, or, you know, worked out, but, you know, she was bringing up the intensity. She brought up her food. And so this gives us a fuller look, a brighter look, a look that's not dull in a way. You know, when I was lean, if I look at pictures from 10 years ago, I look older because you're very flat and, yeah, it's crazy what the body will do as you eat and train and add the lean muscle tissue. It truly changes. It changes your skin. It changes way more than we can even talk about on this podcast. It'll change your whole life.
Muscles let go of this thing. Like they send out this thing called myokines, and myokines are anti-inflammatory. If you think of fat cells, they're storage sites for toxins. Have too much of that and you have an over-toxic environment, which is why, yeah, maybe at first, like having more body fat won't show you having ill health, but that continued over time is bound to bring up a lot of health issues. And Correct. This is why neither of us are anti-fat loss. It's just that most people are doing it at the wrong time, for the wrong amount of time, the wrong way, and their beliefs about what it's going to reveal is completely skewed. Their thoughts about what you need to do is completely skewed. If you want to, like, what is tighter? What is, like, this defined arm that I have and that booty that Sarah has that she pops out like a genius? It's, like, that tightness. People always say, oh, but my legs are soft and pudgy and jelly-like and I have these wrinkles and blah, blah. It's like, if you build the muscle under there, that's going to push up against the skin. Sometimes.
That's some people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I still have cellulite after adding quite a bit of lean muscle tissue. That's my genetics. But I, you know what I don't have is the insecurity that I had when I was 10 to 13 pounds lighter, because now my legs are muscular. They are built legs. When they were just me trying to keep them depleted and skinny, it really was like loose skin and it looked like cellulite and bones. Now it's like, so what? She has little cellulite. Look at those dang legs. Like, and I also feel that way about them in them, you know, and I'm rocking the shorts older than I've ever been. And even my 14-year-old son will be like, Mom, put on those other shorts. You have nice thighs. Like he's all about it. He's like, you have strong, like he'll be like, they're big thighs, but now it's such a cool generation because they think it's incredible to be like a little thicker. You know, I grew up in a time where you wanted to be real thin, but my son thinks it's great. So
yeah, you saw my post, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like, it's generational, and here's a thing to think about. Do you want to pass on? Like, you can act like you're the most confident person. You can try to pass on good habits, but kids don't watch that. They pick up on things, and that is what's going to feed this intergenerationally. And it's like you mentioned something really important with cellulite being genetics. Cellulite is genetics. Your booty is also genetic. So you comparing yourself to someone that either has a genetically large ass or has lied about the fact they got a BBL and now they're training, showing you their next best move with the worst form in the world. But it's just like, you can't compare yourself to that sort of shit. But also, where do genetics fit into this? Because you can't dictate where body fat goes. A lot of people store it around their bellies. A lot of people store it in their booties.
Yeah.
There's that to take in mind, but also, as you age, you lose collagen. As you lose collagen, your skin gets a little bit more softer and more baggier. So you need to use this time to build as much muscle as you can, because that's going to at least make it look better. But you're not going to get rid of the fact that your body ages, and you need to get used to that and not keep trying to compare yourself to 20-year-olds. But
filtered people, or even, I mean, if you're a lifestyle client, our clients, I love my life. I know you love your life, but I was saying this to another coach. Most of my clients, I'm sure most of yours, don't actually want to live my life, right? It's like I'm on vacation. Like, let me see the nicest gym in this town I can go to. That brings me joy. And so, and I'm not saying like, you know, I can't go on vacation without training, but most people don't actually want to live totally how I live. And so it's like also coming to this place of like, is it realistic what I'm chasing for me? And no matter what, everyone should be adding muscle, but you know, to what extent for everyone is a little different, to what they're, you know, willing to put in days, times, and that kind of tying that to the 4 days of training. If you can only go and lift consistently 2 or 3 days, only do 2 or 3 days. Don't say I'm going to go 4 and then force yourself to feel like you're failing.
I have some clients that can only make it like once a week or once a fortnight at the moment, because there's so much going on in their life. And this doesn't mean you're not making progress. And that part, you can't want the thing or the outcome without wanting the behaviors, the identity, the habits, the lifestyle that comes with it. You can't Frankenstein things that you like, and you don't see anything of other people's lives. And I'm the same. I will only allow myself one holiday a year where I don't do anything, where usually it's around my birthday, because I will take a whole week, sometimes 2 weeks, completely off everything. I will try to set up my coaching so that I can take one complete week off coaching,
right?
1 week off half 50% coaching, because to me, I want to enjoy that period of time because it's close to December.
Right.
But then again, it's just like a lot of us already have these factors figured into our life of where we're going on vacation, where we're going on stuff like that. And if we are 100% consistent, and consistent doesn't mean perfect, it means showing up for the best that you can do that day. If you are 100% consistent every other one of those days that are outside of the vacations, you are pretty much having a security blanket, an insurance policy, that sort of thing for those other days. And until you realize that you do not live in a deficit, it is pretty damn hard to give 100% every single day. Because you think 100% looks like starving, looks like overtraining, looks like doing these ridiculous things you don't need to do. You might even think that 100% means you need to be perfect, where there's no such thing as perfect. Or you think 100% is living someone else's standards of, oh, I think this is what I need to do because this is what this person's doing.
Right. And it's not sustainable. 100%. Definitely. I mean, I always talk to my clients too about, not only do we not want to be in actual fat loss all the time, I talk about them staying in fat loss mind, how, you know, we have to that's the biggest piece in maintenance, is almost like we don't want to live continuing to eat like quote unquote diet foods. And I'm not knocking some like low fat diet options, which I have done all the phasic approaches, right? I've done long build phase. I've done maintenance for very many years, and I have done fat loss phases. I actually eat very much so the same, but you do have to swap, right? A little bit of stuff. Like, I'm the taco gal, so I have to swap like a regular corn tortilla for a lower, smaller version of it, or a little thinner, a little lighter carbs. And so, but when you're in maintenance, you've got to get your brain away from, you know, this same client I've mentioned before that was very lean that came to me. She was like, Sarah, I stopped using cucumbers as my snack. Like, I started eating a snack and I was like, this is a huge win. Like, in maintenance, you know, in fat loss, of course, celery, cucumbers, all these crazy high volume foods that are very low calories. Yes, please, like, have those. But in maintenance, like,
eat bigger meals, like actually fill up meals and you realize you weren't even eating.
And it shouldn't just be 300 calories of vegetables with a little chicken on top. Like, eat a whole meal. And yeah, or if you do really need a snack, obviously, like, within your, you know, realm, but like, I'm not knocking cucumbers, but you could have cucumbers with a little cheese or something, you know, like, I love cucumbers. But just eat, like, to watch women realize, oh, I have been living in my head in a diet, even though I'm not losing weight. But then it just perpetuates this, like, issue of, I'm too scared to see the scale go up, because in your head, you're constantly in a diet expecting the scale to change going down. So you have to, like, mentally take the reprieve and allow yourself to enjoy social events without stress, to enjoy, you know, taking a week off and not training, and, you know, be present with your family or whatever that looks like for you.
There's something you mentioned there that I love. Sorry. There's dieting in your head. The thing is, you could be acting in ways that aren't conducive to fat loss. But if you are still so focused, like, the thing I hate the most is when people aren't in a dieting phase because we're trying to heal something, or we're trying to maintain, or we're trying to build, or we're just trying to focus not on fat loss. Correct. You're still thinking, when's the next time I can go into a fat loss phase? Like, I always see people asking, how long do I have to stay in maintenance for? How long do I need a surplus for? But I never see people asking, how long is this diet? Or when can I come out of a diet? No one asks that.
I'm not sure I can do that long. That never, you know, it's always like, how long will you let me? And it's like, well, not as long as you'd like, I think, but
the thing is, I always say that, you know, that you're really transformed and really ready when fat loss doesn't even become a thing on your mind anymore, unless of course you have a lot of weight to lose. But it's still like, you know, that what you're doing has a purpose, has a reason, has a season. And you mentioned something there as well with the 300 calorie thing. I had a girl come to me after losing a lot of weight. She's kind of like us. And she was eating, her belly was bloated. She was holding on to so much water that she felt just fat. And all her meals were like, she wouldn't have anything over like 300 calories. And I remember we were both the same. I know you were as well, because it was like our thing that we're looking for under 300 calorie meals.
Correct.
And now she's eating like 600 calories plus in a meal. And to me, that is exactly the best way to kind of, it's like, the more meals you eat, the more you need to think about food, depending on your lifestyle, because I know that. Yeah. And also the part where you said like the cucumbers and all that kind of stuff, it's like, you need to know yourself, know your trade-offs. Some of us may feel like we need to have a lot more bulk in our food to make us feel good. But like, not everything is diet culture. I feel like if it's not demonizing diet culture, saying everything is diet culture, it's the complete opposite in saying everything needs to be restricted.
100%. It's like YOLO, like, you either, you know, just go wild, or it just doesn't have to be both. But you do need to, I think you need to take like a mental audit, right? Where are you? Once you come to a long building phase or a long maintenance phase, where is your mental audit at? Are you still thinking in fat loss terms? Are you still eating in fat loss patterns? Are you still, you know, kind of like obsessing your cardio over pushing and increasing your training intensity now that food has come up?
That part, as soon as you start focusing on the training performance, it's amazing how things start to shift. But you mentioned this ages ago, and I've been wanting to bring it up, but we've just been rambling on about the best things, and that's, you went into a maintenance after a bulk. You didn't just go straight into, oh my god, I need to reveal all of this muscle that I just built. There are two things I want to bring up here. you didn't build as much muscle as you think you did. It's the fact that muscle isn't just lean muscle. It's the lean tissue that's there, plus the glycogen, plus the water it's holding,
correct,
plus the fact that you're actually really hydrated in itself, plus the fact that you're probably eating high carbs and should be eating high carbs. So there's that as well.
Yeah, there's the blood volume. Very high carbs, yeah.
Yeah, there's the blood volume. So you feel like you probably gained a lot of muscle in a short period of time, but that isn't the case, and you'll be consistently. I had a girl like this. She's been with me for like 6 years now. The first 3 to 4 years, she wasn't really getting anywhere at all because she kept sabotaging herself in thinking that she wants to only do building for a little bit and then stay really lean. She doesn't want to get this, that, and the other. But it's like, if you want to see meaningful change, you need to give it long enough. And now she doesn't even think about dieting. She just thinks about training harder, lifting heavier. And that is what you call maintaining a lean physique with less effort, because there is no effort there. She's just living and her body's a byproduct and she's actually lean. Like, she's lean because she has more muscle. She's at a higher body weight, but she's leaner because body fat.
The ratio of body fat to lean muscle tissue is quote unquote better. Yeah. Exactly.
The more muscle you have, the leaner you look at a higher body fat percentage and a higher weight. So let's kind of now feed into, I wrote this here in the chat because I wanted to say, I want to now bring up habits that we really need to focus on because none of us are getting younger. We're all in the process of getting older. We're all in the process of finding it harder and harder. Although it's not impossible, it is actually so possible for anyone to build muscle, to lose fat. It is so very possible. There's no such thing as it being impossible or it being, oh, just balance your hormones. Oh, you have a broken metabolism. Like, no. It's your lifestyle, it's your habits, it's the fact that you've been chronically dieting forever. But that aside, as we move through our years of life, what are some habits that we really need to focus on? And one of your favorite ones that you love to talk about the most?
Alcohol, sure. At any age, right? Anyone who is considering them, like wanting to get healthier in some way, maybe that does mean lose body fat. Maybe it doesn't. Habits, I think, are walking, water, protein, more protein, probably double the protein you're eating for most ladies, more plants, I always say, meaning fruits and vegetables. And even now, I'm not like anti non-plant-based carbs at all, but choosing carbs that are plant-based more often than maybe you are is a great habit to add. But my number one, for sure, that changed my physique, changed my life, definitely allowed me to, I actually think this is why I added the more lean muscle tissue in this year of maintenance versus my bulk. I gave up alcohol. I stopped drinking and it was a process. I started the journey of trying to moderate, and I would go long stints or periods without it. In 2018, I did 100 days for the first time without it. And I didn't really lose any weight, but I lost 4 inches in my waist that 100 days. And while, yes, I started lifting weights in that time, so some was, I do think, due to adding lean muscle tissue, but predominantly it was bringing down the inflammation that was caused by for like almost a nightly drinker, pretty close, probably 6 nights a week. And I was barely eating, but I was drinking a lot, you know, of course, like skinny girl drinks, vodka sodas, this type of thing. So alcohol, I actually need to make a post on this. I say this to my clients sometimes. Do you go to, like, most women don't eat birthday cake at every birthday party they go to, especially with, like, in my age, because I have kids, right? I'll say, you know, like, are you eating birthday cake at every kid birthday party you go to? And they're like, oh, no, I would never. And I'm like, exactly. You need that stance with alcohol. You shouldn't be having alcohol because it's Tuesday, because it's girls' night, because it's date night, because of everything. And I'm not saying you can't have some sometimes, but people just will use it for anything. Like, oh, what? It's Wednesday. It's Wine Wednesday. So I'm going to drink again. So anyhow, that is like definitely
like just seen as a liquid. Like people do not realize what they are actually drinking and what it does to their body. And I know you and many others in between their 40s to 50s, especially, as soon as they gave up on alcohol, their whole physique changed.
I mean, and the rate at which lean muscle tissue can get added, thus giving you the leaner physique that you're chasing, particularly as a little bit of like an aging perimenopausal female, where, yeah, we do start to approach more challenges as we age as women and in adding lean muscle tissue, because we're losing it if we're not trying to keep it or add it. And so muscle or alcohol just gets in the way of that. So the longer you fight to hold on to alcohol, the longer the process of adding lean muscle tissue is going to take. And it may never even arrive to the place you want it to, because you're choosing alcohol over that. And, you know, again, you're your own person. You get to decide that for yourself. But I'd argue for most women who are holding on to it, but also still training in some way 4 or 5 days a week, they're actually chasing a physique, and alcohol is probably the number one thing getting in their way. Because I have clients that, you know, they hit their water, they nail their steps, they hit their protein, they're hitting their macros, they're hitting the training, you know, or I don't really do true macro tracking. I do more calories and protein focused, but anyhow, they
like me, calories, protein, and plants.
Yes, exactly. And just, but you know, if they hold on to alcohol, it affects your sleep. It affects your training intensity. You definitely are not training as hard as you think you can when you are keeping alcohol in, you know, 5-6 times a month, or even, you know, 10 times a month for a lot of people. I live in Nevada, in Northern Nevada. So I grew up in Las Vegas though. So Nevada, it's 24/7 here. You can get alcohol anytime, anywhere you want. I was on the PTA. I did a PTA meeting. This is since I've been sober. There was 8 ladies, 8 bottles of wine went through on a Thursday night or something with 8 women. I was not drinking because I was sober at the time, but that's how prominent it is here. And it's getting in the way of people.
It really is. That just because you mentioned that, I had 2 clients. One of them, she was drinking pretty regularly. And by pretty regularly, I mean about once to twice a week, even just that much. But every time she drank, she would have like 2 glasses, so about 4 glasses a week. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like she was actually, like you said, she was ticking the boxes. She was doing everything, but she was drinking alcohol. And as soon as we cut out alcohol and she only now uses it for things like the random date night once a month or special celebrations. And when she does, she only has a glass of really strong red because she's only having one. She actually enjoys date nights more than she's ever enjoyed them before because it's a special event. She's having the wine there. She's sharing it with her husband. And like the things that you do less often, they're a lot more special because you're doing them less often. I made an analogy to doing, I hate wearing makeup. When I do makeup up, I'm like, holy shit, I look so good. I wish I could just like look like this forever. And then people comment on my face and people say that this looks good. This looks good. I'm like, see, that's only because they're not used to seeing me that way.
Correct.
It's the same way with like special things like the chocolate cake or whatever it is. You'll enjoy it.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. No, and that is really true. If you keep it special, it is special. You know, for me, right, I do makeup, but like leaving your gym clothes is that for me. And tomorrow I'm helping host a baby shower and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get like in clothes tomorrow. Like not workout clothes.
Oh my God. I went to my Christmas party last year and my uncle, as soon as he saw me step out of the car, he's like, holy shit, she's wearing clothes today. I'm like, lol, that is hilarious. Because I'm like, what do you mean? I always wear clothes. Like, no, I'm always seeing you on Instagram and Facebook and wearing like nothing. So it's nice to see you like wearing clothes. It's funny.
Oh,
But that same client I was talking about, she's looking leaner. She's in her 50s. And nothing changed except the fact that she's not drinking alcohol.
I have multiple multiple clients in their 40s and 50s, exact same. Their waist inches start coming down. Their skin is improving. The texture of their body is improving. The only change is that they begin to drink more like, yes, one glass at a time, maybe two times a month, multiple. And I have a 30 something that is having the same experience right now. And it's incredible to watch. And, you know, it's also their actions with their habits and their consistency in hiring a coach. And I'm getting their training intensity up. It is the other things too, but alcohol has got, you know, one of them has been with me just 5 weeks. She's down 8 inches and like 4 in the waist. And I'm like, girl, it's the alcohol. So please lean into keeping this mindful, in this mindful place with it. So.
It really does make a difference. And I think a couple of other habits as well is realizing that it's not even the habits. It's understanding that when you age, it becomes even more important to have intention behind everything that you do, because that's when people blame their hormones. They say they're doing everything the same, but they've just gained weight. But it's like, are you really doing everything the same? Because it's not the training that determines where your body fat levels fall. It's what you do outside of the gym. Are there any other habits that you would want to mention?
I sleep 100%. I think more people, especially in America, are so underslept. Reduction of caffeine overuse, and then stress management. So you could be doing the exact same stuff from when you were 30 and maybe single, right? But now you have a couple kids, your work levels have gone, finances are, your kids, you know, I had a kid get a procedure in the hospital this week. As he's getting it, another kid texts us, I think I just broke my hand in PE. In the middle, we're in the hospital with one kid. And so your stress goes up so much. So if your habits are not dialed and your stress levels are just higher, but you have got to, with stress, like learn to say no, or be wise with what you say yes to is maybe a more positive way to say that. But you've got to protect your sleep, screen time, protect your screen time. All of it. What else? I'm sure I'm missing some, Ruby. I know that's a lot. It seems like a lot, but it's really not, because these are all things you should be doing, treating like brushing your teeth, in my opinion. You know, like I have clients say, like, well, I just don't have time to eat. I'm like, okay, at your next meeting with your boss, can you tell him, hey, I never eat lunch because I don't feel like I have time to. Let me hear what your boss has to say about that. He's probably going to say to you, take your freaking lunch. And they're always like, okay. And I'm like, so step away, go for a 5-minute walk, eat with off your screen, and then go for another 5-minute walk, and then come back. And I bet you'll also be more productive at what you do.
Yeah, a lot of us think that working harder through things just somehow makes everything better, but it really doesn't. And I want to end this on something I feel is really valuable, because we've mentioned it a few times in here, and it was a good part of my conversation with Brandon as well. And something I've noticed is everything's changed for you since you stopped doing your own stuff and even stopped doing group programs and started being a one-on-one coach. So let's end with the importance of ditching the group programs and online workouts, online diet plans, for actually getting a personalized coach.
Yeah, 100%. So I did my build phase, where I did add, you know, 10% of body weight intentionally to add lean muscle tissue. I did that without a coach. I did my little like reset fat loss phase where I took off 5 pounds, by myself. within a month of ending those, I hired a one-on-one nutrition coach only for maintenance. I've been with her for 11 months. I've never once asked her for a fat loss phase. But I've also had the most successful maintenance phase of my life. Like I said, I'm just have gone through about a 4 pound range in a whole year. I'm able, you know, we've dug into a lot of mindset stuff, which even in our, you know, coaches, we need coaches, to be honest. We've often gone through most of the things that our clients are struggling with at some point. And we are continuing to grow too. And then I hired a one-on-one training coach 3 weeks after that. And so the immediate feedback, you're getting programs designed just for your physique goals, for your training level, you know, if you're a beginner, intermediate, get reaching more advanced, they're going to coach you like that. When you sign up for a group program, it's, I don't know how many of your listeners are parents, but like, it's like when your students are in school, when your kids are in school, that is taught towards the average, right? That's what a group program is for. It's designed for, you know, how can I make something that works for 500 people instead of how can I make something that is for Sarah, that is for Ruby, for their goals, whether it's a strength goal, whether it's a learn a new skill, like get better at the back squat, which I'm doing current, you know, whether it's for hypertrophy, you know, and obviously we err on the side of like hypertrophy, but like you can hire one-on-one coaches. Mine is also going to start doing hybrid training because I run, even though I had taken about 2 years away from really running at all to build my physique. Now I'm able to, he's going to design programming for me. Where I can lift and keep gains, keep getting jacked, but also couple running in there and also be a quality runner. So yeah, it just is such like, if you are looking for the next level, staying, following, just coming up with workouts based off of what you see on Instagram, joining a group and then changing that group 3 months later, because you're like, oh, this isn't for me, is not going to do it for you. If your nutrition adherence, if you're gaining and losing, chasing this fat loss phase every year or every 6 months, you're going to continue doing that without a one-on-one coach. Coaching is, gosh, it is like the, it's going to be what sets you apart. You know, you can't think about it even outside of coaching. It's like in work, if you never had a mentor, would you be where you were? No. So how do you expect in your fitness and nutrition, you know, cause we all live stressful lives and food is around us all the time. It's so easy to say, oh, I don't have time to make it to the gym. But when you are making that investment into yourself, you sure show up for yourself and you're turning in these forum videos, you're turning in check-ins. It is absolutely the game changer to me.
I love that. I really love that. I think that's the best way to end this podcast as well. And I do want to say that the best wins that we can get as a coach is actually getting someone to share us something saying how stupid something was in a Facebook group or on Instagram that they once believed that they don't, that they can see how stupid it is now. And just not like, not even giving a shit about most things they used to care so much about before that never really put a dent into the long-term progress they want to see.
100%. Yeah. Yeah, it is so great to impact people. What a gift we get to do.
It's the best. And that's exactly why I brought Sarah on today as well, because we both are so passionate about shifting the way that you view how to get your best physique. And we both give a lot of shits about you and your progress. So if you want to see more of Sarah, go and follow her Mexican ass. Well, she's not Mexican, but she loves
No, Mexican. I'm not. I'm white, but I like tacos and nachos.
I love burrito bowls. Burrito bowls are just the best.
I do like a bowl.
That's the thing. Like, you also know how to eat out when you go through this lifestyle. It's like, give me the double protein. Give me, like, go light on the cheese. Give me no sour cream. Like, I want to make this I friggin' enjoy without, like, adding too much bulk to my plate.
Yeah, 100%. Well, and also like, how do I want to feel? You start being able, and then that ties to alcohol and food. how do I want to wake up tomorrow and feel tomorrow? And, you know, a lot of times the heavy-handed cheese and the heavy-handed sour cream, the extra cocktail, you're going to wake up feeling your best.
That's so very true. So if you want to find more of Sarah, you will find her at lift.tacos.run.nachos. But I will have that down in the show notes anyway. And you will most likely will be seeing or have seen a clip or two on my stories or feed through this. I would say go check her out. Go see the same messages that you see on mine telling you the same thing, because it's the very thing that you don't want to hear because it's kind of what you need to hear. And with that, is there anything else that you want to leave them with?
No, just thank you. Thank you so much. And yes, ladies, step away from fat loss for a while. Build your physique, eat in alignment, and train in alignment to get that physique that you're chasing.
100%. And I hope you loved this podcast, and you will hear me on the next one. Bye.